This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. And later on, Houston Justice for Janitors Strike.
But first, union jobs for the mob? Local 1181 President Salvatore Battaglia and Treasurer Julius Spike Bernstein and Ann Chiravano, head of the Benefits Fund, were indicted on federal charges of racketeering and extortion. After Maddie the Horse Ionello, head of the Genovese crime family, pleaded guilty in the case, Bernstein and Chiravano followed suit but kept their union jobs. Ionello implicated Battaglia, and members have been organizing for years into a rank-and-file group, Members for Change, and have waged vigorous battles over election fraud, contract ratification, and grievance handling.
Joining us now are Members for Change school bus drivers from Local 1181, Raymond LaRoche, with Eddie Kay, organizing assistant.
Perhaps you can give us a sense of what has been the struggle over these years in Local 1181.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. In our Local 1181, there is no democracy because the members, they're afraid. They're afraid to talk to the executive board. Don't give the members a chance to talk to them because it's a union won by the mob. As you know, Matty the Horse was the head of it, and then Spike, who never drove a bus, controlled the union, and whatever Sal say goes. And then he elect the people, and then we never have a chance to run a good democratic. Whenever there is election, we never have a chance to vote on a secret ballot. They just ask you to stand up. If you're for them, you stand up. If you're against them, you sit down. So people are afraid to stand to sit down because they're afraid of the mob wanting the local.
Eddie, what are the charges that the federal government is bringing against Local President Battaglia?
They are the conspiracy to obstruct justice and obstruction of justice. Both of those charges, he will go to trial in January now, and Spike Bernstein has pleaded guilty to many felonies, and he will be sentenced in December, on December 29th. And Ann Schiavano, who is head of our medical and pension monies, has pled guilty and will also be sentenced in December. She is still running the pension fund. Could you imagine? She has pled guilty, awaiting sentence, and she is still handling our monies that, my gosh, we don't know where the hell they are. In addition, Salvatore Battaglia, the president, has been indicted and is running the union totally with the either connivance or acceptance by the international. This is just a shame.
How did organized crime become rooted in labor's house, in this instance, in 1181?
In 1181, during the 70s, they entered this union and have stayed inside continually. Ionello, the head of the mafia, has testified in court where he controlled the union from the 1990s, extracting money from the bosses with the help of Battaglia and Bernstein, and prior to that, other union leaders.
Raymond, how does this affect bread and butter issues within the union? I mean, some people say, oh, the mob's in control, they can deal with the bosses better, you get a good contract, and everything's better. Some people say that. You getting good contracts?
No. As a matter of fact, it's not the case here, because the union now, in the last contract we have, Sal Battaglia give away a lot of things. For example, when you used to, if the money used to run out, you have the bosses
in the medical plan.
In the medical plan, the bosses put money. But now Sal Battaglia give that away. And then when they give that away, it's mean when I go to a doctor, if there is no more money in the medical plan, I have to pay extra. And now there's a rumor 16% of the run will be disappeared. So this is all on the Sal Battaglia administration that's going on in our union.
The contract ratification took place on July 18th of this year. The contract was signed on July 5th. Battaglia and crew never allowed the members to see the actual memorandum of agreement, and therefore we took a vote. The members took a vote, which was, of course, not democratic, but they took the vote with that clause hidden that we used to have in the contract where when the monies in the medical plan went below a certain level, the bosses had to put in to keep the level up high enough for the benefits to be complete. That has disappeared, taken out of the contract. The importance is that we did not know that when we voted on the contract. And he hid the contract from us until about a month ago.
And now, and the reason the members know about it is because Member for Change went to a meeting, so we force him to give the contract, to send the contract. Usually they never tell you, they never send you the contract, but now we Members for Change forced Battaglia and the Coneys to send the members, but he did not. He sent one to us, we make copies of it and make it available to all the members.
I still also want to know how Ann Chiravano, who pleads guilty, continues to hold a fundamental position that is directly involved with finances and minutes and et cetera, at the heart of the union.
For Ann, I have to tell you, I think the authorities should be responsible for that. For example, we have Congressman Charles Wengel who signed papers for us, and then they have other authorities. They're not on our side, because the international, we write them letters,
right,
and then they don't do nothing for us. As a matter of fact, I think they're embedded with Sal Battaglia, or they're in their pocket, because they have Joe Welsh over there, supposed to.
Oh, wait, we don't know who Joe Welsh is, and I'm still a little clear on what you're saying about Charlie Rangel.
Well, no, Charlie Rangel and 92 other politicians have signed letters going to the international, telling them to investigate and find out what's wrong. Still, the international has done nothing. As Raymond has said, our opinion is that they are in bed with Battaglia, Bernstein, et al., and they have done nothing. They were just recently forced to hire an independent counsel, which we think is a big victory, because we went down and spoke to the International Executive Board. But for the past 15 years and much longer, the international has never interfered in this local, as they are robbing, etc., etc. And in fact, they trusteed five other locals.
That's the ATU,
Eddie,
should know who the international union is.
The Amalgamated Transit Union,
ATU.
Mm-hmm. They trusteed five other locals. All of them had black leadership. And every one of them has been removed, but never have they even thought, or maybe they thought, they have never removed Sal Battaglia after he's been indicted and his two of his major crew have been convicted. So we think that they are not only in bed, they have gotten jobs from these people, etc., etc. It's up to the international to remove them. When they go to jail, I guess they'll finally not attend the union anymore.
Since Eddie brings the words black here, I have to tell you, Local 1181, they have 13 executive members. All of them are white, no women. And then in the school bus industry, there is matron and drivers. Most of the matron, or the majority of them, they're women. So in other words, they're very sexist. There's no woman there on the executive board. And they have 13 members, one of them, Spike, who was indicted, never drove a bus before, and then he's running the union. So we want to know why there is no black, no Latinos, no women part of the executive board. This is a question I always ask.
The members are 80% of color, and mostly black and Latino, of which the overwhelming majority are Haitian, and not one single person of color is on the executive board.
Raymond, it's hard enough forming a rank-and-file caucus and organizing in any union. But when the mob is concerned, tell us what it's like. Are you afraid? Are people afraid in organizing? Tell us what it's like and how long you've been doing this.
I belong to that union since 1987. I have to tell you, yes, I'm afraid. I'm giving you two examples. I was working for Varsity before, and then I was trying to change the Sharp Sword. He was elected part of the executive board, so I want to come on a Haitian to replace him as a Sharp Sword. What they did at Varsity, one morning we come to work, one of the drivers who was helping us to get together to change the whole thing, they cut his brake wire from the van. And then this is a big deal. And then we went and talked to the supervisor. His name is Alan Miller. He said there will be an investigation. They never have any investigation about what happened. Now, Last time, because of my picture was on the chief, 5 members of the local 1181 come to ask me question about it. And then one of them was had his hand on his pocket like somebody who hold a gun. And then that day he had a heavy coat on him. And then it wasn't that cold for him to have that heavy coat. And then his hand was in his pocket. So there is intimidation, left and right.
Well, also tell us about the courage and the coming together and how they're seeking to organize the group, the rank and file members for change. How are they proceeding against the gangsterism that has consumed the union, the at best ineptitude or complicity of government, and certainly the deliberate ignorance of the ATU or worse, and John Sweeney, president of the AFL-CIO.
Well, let's not leave out the New York City Central Labor Council.
Which should be involved by all means. I guess they have a few of their own problems.
Well,
now,
even at the Central Labor Council, they removed McLaughlin, and our international refuses to remove Bataglia.
And that's Brian McLaughlin, head of the Central Labor Council.
That's right.
Yeah, but shouldn't they be doing something with regard to this local? Shouldn't they be looking into it?
Of course they should, and so should the whole labor movement. We did get a lot of cooperation of the politicians, and the government is bringing them to trial as quickly as 20 could get into trial and be. 15 out of the 20 have been convicted, and 4 are waiting a jury decision, and Bataglia is still hanging out there.
So where does Members for Change go from here, Raymond?
We are out there giving out papers and let the members know what's going on, because it's not a democratic union. So a lot of members don't know. And then as Eddie was saying, the majority of the members, they're Haitian. A lot of them don't really speak English. So they don't know what's going on. And then this is what we ask the union, to be more democratic. Hire Haitian and Latinos to be part of the executive board. So the people, when they go there, they can feel welcome. Because we don't feel welcome when we go to Woodhaven Boulevard on the headquarters. We're not welcome there. As a matter of fact, Bataglia hired his son. He's paying $55,000 a year, 3 days a week as a security. He's just sitting there talking with his girlfriend. And then for $55,000 a year, he makes more money than the driver. And he put another son on an executive board making more money than the president of Local 100, which have 13,000 members. 35,000 members. Mm. So you see, because that union is like a family thing. 2 brothers, father and son. That's the way it's
going. In more ways than one, a family thing.
Apparently. Well, the question is, what can people listening, how can they assist in this effort to democratize a union that has been consumed, taken over by the mob? And I can't help, one of the best headlines that I saw was The Horse in Labor's House, which appeared in by Richie Steyer. And that's referring to Matty Ionello, who's nicknamed The Horse, and is certainly of questionable character at
best. He's been doing some good reporting on this.
Yes,
he has. And a tremendous amount of help also from the Village Voice and Tom Robbins.
Tom Robbins, absolutely.
He did a fantastic piece. May I interject? We now have 2,000 of the educational and accessory members who have signed with us with their name and their phone number, and they do different activities in their own garages. They're going after more members. We're building. We have a program, a 16-point program, and we go and distribute outside the garages, inside the garages, and mobilizing. We've done press conferences. We've gone to Florida to appeal to the international, and that forced them into hiring an independent counsel called Mr. Mark. And we hope to continue this and grow until the international finally moves there behind.
Then we ask for your listeners to call the politician to ask them. It's a shame for Sal Bataglia to be indicted and still running the show, because this is wrong.
Make sure he is removed now. Forthwith. Absolutely. Raymond LaHoz and Eddie Kay, thank you both for your struggles, mostly in 1181. And we will have you back to continue to follow this very important story. And then for the final victory, when you reclaim the union that you work in, that you built, and that will be democratized. And special thanks for the courage of Members for Change.
Thank you for having us.
Hasta México ha llegado la noticia muy alegre que de verlo es diferente. Pues el pueblo ya está en contra de los rancheros y engreídos que acababan con la gente. Y como somos hermanos, la alegría compartimos con todos los campesinos. ¡Viva la revolución! ¡Viva nuestra asociación! ¡Viva huelga en general!
The Houston Justice for Janitors strike is on. More than 1,700 Houston janitors are on strike in this week three of an historic strike, protesting the failure to bargain in good faith by the five national cleaning companies who contract with large corporations like Chevron and Heinz.
And the employers have responded to the janitors' efforts to lift themselves out of poverty by launching a campaign of firings, threats, and harassment against workers. The strike could have national implications in the battle to organize the South. And we're joined by Flora Aguilar on strike against One Source and Linda Tron, SEIU organizer.
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Bien. Mi nombre es Flora Aguilar, soy una trabajadora de limpieza de Houston que está en huelga.
Hi, my name is Flora Aguilar and I am a Houston janitor on a strike.
Más de 1,700 trabajadores de limpieza están ahora en huelga en Houston, Texas. Los trabajadores que limpian la mayoría de los edificios de oficinas de Houston son uno de los peores pagados entre las ciudades más importantes de Estados Unidos, ganando un promedio de $5.30 a la hora sin seguro médico.
More than 1,700 janitors are on a strike in Houston, Texas. Janitors who clean the majority of Houston's office buildings have among the lowest wages and benefits of any major city in the United States, earning an average of $5.30 an hour with no health care benefit.
Nuestra huelga está creciendo a nivel nacional y también obteniendo atención internacional.
Our strike is growing nationwide and getting attention internationally as well.
Hemos obtenido líneas de huelga en otras ciudades como Nueva York, Los Ángeles, Chicago, y en la región de Washington, D.C., para protestar los abusos de derechos civiles por parte de nuestros empleadores. Las cinco compañías de limpieza en Houston, ellos han despedido y acosado a los trabajadores de limpieza que han demandado cambios.
We have set up picket lines in other cities such as New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and the Washington, D.C. region to protest the civil rights abuses of our employers. The five largest cleaning companies in Houston, they have fired and threatened janitors who have spoken out for changes.
La semana pasada estuve en el área de Nueva York hablando con mis compañeros de limpieza que le dieron honor a la línea de huelga en Houston. Les hablé a los trabajadores acerca de nuestra lucha y ellos sintieron que tenían una necesidad moral de hacer algo al respecto.
Last week I was in the New York area talking to fellow janitors who honor Houston's picket lines. I spoke to workers about our struggle and they felt that they have the moral need of doing something about it.
Lo último que quiero informar es que esta noche le estamos dando la bienvenida a la primera ola de trabajadores de limpieza sindicalizados de otras ciudades que están peleando en unirse a actividades no violentas como Nueva York de desobediencia civil en Houston.
Last thing I want to say is that tonight we're welcoming the first wave of union janitors from other cities like New York who are planning to engage in non-violent acts of civil disobedience in Houston.
Vamos a continuar con nuestras líneas de huelga alrededor de la nación hasta que sea necesario porque creemos que vale la pena pelear por un futuro mejor. Gracias.
We are going to keep our picket lines around the country as long as it takes because we believe a better future is worth fighting for. Thank you very much.
One of the most exciting groups in the country has been Justice for Janitors. They've just been extraordinary in their organizing. One of the things I would like to find out more is how corporations like Chevron and Heinz can really turn a blind eye on such a vibrant and vital force who is asking for really not even a living wage, but just somewhat of a better wage and benefit. Tell us more about Chevron and Heinz.
This is Linda Tran. I'm a spokesperson for the Justice for Janitors campaign here in Houston. One of the reasons why janitors have been calling on major companies like Chevron and Heinz is because these are multi-billion dollar companies who are really the market leaders here in Houston and certainly have the power to drive these national building owners to the table so that janitors can actually make the improvements that they need in order to have a just wage and to have access to health care.
And Flora, I wanted to ask you about your individual situation. Who do you work for? And I know that you were injured on the job. Could you tell us how that happened and whether the company did anything to make it right?
Yo trabajo para la compañía OneSor. En estos momentos gano 418 al mes trabajando en limpieza. Mis gastos mensuales son mayores que mis ingresos. Solo en renta pago 425.
I work for OneSource, and right now I bring home $418 a month working as a janitor. My monthly bills are more than my income. Just for rent, I had to pay $425 an hour.
Trabajo de lunes a viernes de 5:30 p.m. a 10 p.m. limpiando 80 oficinas en solo 4 horas. Debido a que no tengo carro, solo uso el autobús. Cuando llego unos minutos tarde, el trabajo me quitan 30 minutos de mi cheque sin importar que solo estuve atrasada por menos de eso.
I work Monday to Friday from 5:30 p.m. to 10 p.m., cleaning 80 offices in just 4 hours. Because I don't have a car, I rely on the bus for transportation. When I'm late to work, I'm docked 30 minutes pay regardless of how many minutes late I am. That's my life right now.
And the injury, what happened specifically, and what did the company do about it?
Nada, pues me dijo que me fuera al doctor, pero como no tengo para el doctor, pues no. Me curé como pude en mi casa.
Didn't do anything when I told them that I had that injury. I couldn't go to the doctor because I actually don't have insurance. So I basically had to remain home and stay like that until I was able to function again.
Linda, Flora mentioned before that there are janitors coming to Houston from other parts of the country to help out. And I think you're at a rally right now in which those janitors are coming to. Could you talk about that?
Actually, I'm on my way over to this rally where Houston janitors are going to be around 500 Houston janitors welcoming the first wave of union janitors from around the country who are coming to, on their behalf to risk civil disobedience, to risk arrest and actions later this week.
How did you bring together these workers? Frankly, it's pretty difficult for janitors to leave their jobs and travel to Houston to participate in supporting their sisters and brothers. So do tell us a little bit more about how this came together.
Well, you know, the janitors from all these other cities, you know, New York, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, and many, many other cities around the country really understand that if janitors in Houston can live with poverty wages and live without access to health care when they're employed by the same national cleaning companies and clean buildings owned by the same national building owners that employ these janitors in their own hometowns, they know that their own gains, the things that they've won in their own cities, are really at risk. And so it makes sense to them that they should come to Houston and join in this fight because they see it as their own fight.
Linda, it looks like you're calling for reinforcements, but you've been doing pretty well on your own in Houston in terms of tying up traffic and doing other types of civil disobedience. So why don't you tell us what the struggle's been like in Houston?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of energy, certainly. Of 5,300 janitors, 1,700 janitors have actually walked off the job here in Houston. And as you are alluding to, there's been, you know, certainly lots of activity. There was national media attention around the traffic jam, so to speak, that janitors had, I want to say, 2 weeks ago now. And then last week, they also occupied an office at one of the largest property managers in the area. And so, you know, they are continuing every day as well to get their message out there. And they're forcing this debate on Houston about, you know, what kind of a community Houston wants to be. What you're seeing now with janitors coming in from all around the country is that it's growing into something even much larger than that. If janitors, SEIU janitors from around the country are really saying that Houston is turning into a battleground for what kind of country we want to be. And they're saying that, you know, this is a debate about whether or not people who work hard should live in poverty.
Flora, tell us more about who the people are that are janitors and what their demands are.
Los trabajadores que somos de limpieza, pues generalmente somos gente pues de bajos recursos, pobre por decirlo, y pues no tenemos otra opción que trabajar por ese sueldo que nos pagan.
The janitors in Houston are low-income people who are actually trying very hard, struggling to make ends meet. And we're just simple people, and we're demanding, what I said at the beginning, an increase of our wages, at least $8.50 an hour, and plus health care benefits.
Flora, you were recently in New York City. Tell us about that, and tell us what you told the people of New York City, but tell our audience.
Bueno, pues fue muy reconfortante. Las personas a las que les hablé, todas me dijeron que estaban dispuestas a ayudar, a cooperar con todos nosotros, los de Houston.
It was indeed an exciting experience. I was able to talk to janitors from New York, and when I was telling them our story, our struggle, they were very willing, more than willing, to help out and to even come here to Houston to help us fighting this fight.
Now, I have the most important question of all. I want to know what the major chant was or is on that strike picket line. Can you give it to us, Flora?
Si se puede.
We know that one well. Si se puede.
Si se puede.
And indeed they can, and Justice for Janitors has been doing this all over the country.
The eyes of the world are watching, in Houston in particular, because what happens here and what, you know, poverty wage workers here are able to accomplish will certainly have, you know, make waves all across the South and all across this country.
And to find out more information,
the website is HoustonJanitors.org.
Remember that and go to it. It's a great website, and we've got to help our sisters and brothers. And we're going to give Flora absolutely the last word. For those of us who are sitting and listening, what should we understand? What should we do to help our sisters and brothers?
Bueno, pues apoyándonos, como lo dije antes, a todos los compañeros de la limpieza en Nueva York, el apoyo de ustedes es bien grato para todos nosotros, porque lo necesitamos en este momento.
Okay, what I can tell you is exactly what I told my fellow janitors in New York. We need your support. We need you to come out, because just that support help us keep fighting for this.
Well, we are going to do that. And is there anyone that we can send letters to or emails to pester to make sure that they meet the demands of our sisters and brothers who are on strike against one source?
Absolutely. What you can do is, if you go straight to HoustonJanitors.org and you click on Act Now, you'll see all of different ways that you can participate.
Easy enough, and it's just a click away, so we had better engage the struggle.
They're organized.
Mm-hmm. And then they're going to come back up here, and we got a couple of venues we need to organize as well. Flora Aguila, thank you. Muchas gracias por todo. Y
gracias.
Tran, SEIU organizer. And who's our wonderful translator?
Natalie. Thank you.
Natalie, gracias por todo.
Not a problem, thanks.
Thank you. And si se puede, indeed.
Si se puede.
And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And you can reach us at knash@igc.org. That's knash@igc.org.
Pero hombres de la raza se fajan y no se rajan mientras la uva ya se pasa. Viva la revolución, viva nuestra asociación, viva huelga general.
Ah, yes.